Ground ball hit up the middle of the diamond, and short hop nicely by Tulowitzki. From behind the bag, he throws him out. Just plain beautiful play from the newcomer, Tulowitzki.
Yeah, it was. Troy Tulowitzki, that was off Alcides Escobar leading off the third inning. Part of 15 in a row set down by Marco Estrada between the first and the sixth. The Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 5-2. Home runs from Deonor Navarro, Russ Martin, Josh Donaldson. Obviously, the big news of the day is the David Price deal. The Blue Jays pull in their new ace, and he will report tomorrow. He will start either Sunday or Monday. His day to start is Sunday, and the Blue Jays do need a starter that day. But if they start him on Sunday, then it means he doesn't get to pitch against the Twins, the team the Blue Jays are chasing for the second wild card, and the team that will be in here for four games Monday through Thursday. And it means he only gets the Yankees once in the back-to-back weekend series that the Blue Jays play against New York. If Price was to start Monday, R.A. Dickey would start on short rest Sunday afternoon in the finale of this series against the Royals. But it would mean that not only would Price get the Twins, very obviously, because they're playing the Twins on Monday, but it means he would also get to start in New York next weekend and home against the Yankees the weekend after that. And David Price, while he doesn't have a wonderful track record against the New York Yankees, was brought here to pitch the big games and win the big games, and those are the big games. So we'll see if the Blue Jays start him Sunday or Monday. He'll be here tomorrow, and we'll get a chance to talk to him and introduce you to David Price, as we have introduced you to Troy Tulowitzki recently. It will be likely the fourth straight day with the Blue Jays introductory news conference tomorrow. But these are fun times, and the Blue Jays are throwing down. They are awful serious. And right now, as we speak, a game and a half out of a playoff spot, 6.5 out of first in the American League East. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Jays Talk. Taking your calls right up to 11 o'clock Eastern Time at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's start with Joe in Mississauga. Joe, you're up first. Welcome aboard.
Thanks, Mike. I just want to qualify what I'm about to say by saying I'm absolutely thrilled that David Price is a Toronto Blue Jay. I think it'd be hard for anybody not to be. But I'm still a bit confused by the trade, simply because I think I shared your sentiments that you discussed yesterday about what you're giving up for a rental. And I'm wondering, did you have a change of heart, or do you feel the same way that, you're really happy that the Jays have him, but they did give up quite a bit to get him as well?
Yeah, and you know what? I think that for David Price, you do that. And David Price is the only one you do it for. Johnny Cueto is an ace, but he's a National League guy who's never pitched here, who's had some elbow issues this year, so you don't want to give up your great kids for him. You're certainly not going to do it for a Yovani Gallardo or a Mike Leake or something like that. But David Price is legitimately one of the 10 best pitchers in the league, if not one of the 10 best pitchers in the major leagues. He's an ace and he's a difference maker. And the Blue Jays still kept Marcus Stroman, Aaron Sanchez, and Roberto Osuna, who are three guys that you figure to form the core of their starting rotation for the next half decade. So they gave up Daniel Norris, which is a lot to give up. That's for sure. And if they don't make the playoffs, this is going to hurt potentially really badly down the road. But David Price is a game changer, and they've got a shot right now. They've got the world's best offense by a ton. They've improved the defense with Troy Tulowitzki. They've improved the bullpen with Hawkins and Sanchez. This is a team that is much, much better than it was a week ago, and they have a real honest-to-goodness shot at doing something really, really special, and that's when you take risks like this.
I agree. I think it'll be a really fun ride the next 2 months. Another quick question for you. Don't want to sound greedy or selfish or anything like that, but do you think the Jays are making any other moves?
I doubt it. I know Ken Rosenthal says they're still looking at a starting pitcher and a left fielder, and I'm sure they are. They're poking around. There's not a lot left in the war chest, if anything, so any trade they make, you would imagine, would have to be revenue neutral. Which means that if you want to bring in somebody and give up a kid, the kid's going to have to be a lot better than he otherwise would in order to get the other team to pick up the money. you could always make a move with a D'Onor Navarro. Although, you know, he's looked lovely as a backup catcher. You could make a move. Possibly we were kicking it around today. Maybe you can deal a Michael Saunders to get to free up some cash and bring in somebody else. I don't know. But I would be surprised if there was anything else that came down. But we'll see. I was surprised by Tulowitzki, and I was surprised by Price. So very obviously they're doing a lot of surprising things lately. Thanks for the call. Before we get to the next one, let's get to the skipper. The Blue Jays beat the Kansas City Royals 5-2 today. Here's what John Gibbons had to say about it.
Gibby, that was a pretty nice job by your bullpen tonight.
Yeah, it is. You know, we were really good the other night, too. I think it's starting to fall in line, you know, the way we envision it anyway. But tonight was a real good game, clean game. You know, Marco got off to, you know, he struggled there in the first inning and got in a little bit of a jam and then settled in. I don't know, he might have given up one hit before we took him out. So, and then the bullpen just took over. So, yeah, good all-around game. You know, our bats came to life, you know, with the three home runs. So that's what we do best.
John, it seemed from a distance that there was a certain swagger to tonight's game. Did you feel that in the dugout? Guys playing maybe with a little bit more confidence or a little more upbeat based on everything that's happened?
You know, I don't know if I noticed a difference there. You know, I mean, I know there's a good feeling in that clubhouse, but it. Sorry, but I didn't notice that. Good try.
Does it almost feel like a luxury to have your bullpen lined up in assigned roles like this finally?
Well, you know, I mean, it makes it easier on the manager. That's for sure. You know, we decided to put Sanchi back down there. We knew he was going to, you know, fit the eighth or ninth inning. You know, that's he can still do both. Osuna really settled into that. You know, with the emergence of Schultze, that's you know, help strengthen that down there. And, of course, Hawkins, you know, I think that's a big pickup for us. And, you go down the, you know, Cease and Loopy and all them, and we got some firepower down there. And, I mean, they were all really good tonight. But you need those middle innings are crucial. Those sixth and seventh inning, you know, depending on what your starter does, you know, because normally they're at the tail end in those innings anyway. The starter, they're getting tired. And you got to be able to have some guys that can come in and shut something down, and I feel better about that now.
Was there a little more swagger in your walk tonight?
Yeah, I've got a bad walk. It gets pointed out many times, you know, but it's bad genetics. You know, I can't do anything about that. It's got nothing to do with being arrogant.
There's John Gibbons for you. So, yeah, maybe a little bit more in his walk tonight. But, yeah, he didn't take the bait on the was there more swagger in the Blue Jays tonight question either. This is a good team that played well. You know, it's funny how outside influences affect how we see what we're looking at. There were a few people on Twitter today with me who said, boy, the Blue Jays sure look like they're playing with some extra passion or something. They're not. They're always trying to win. And they're, you know, when they play like they did on Tuesday night, when they're flat, when they get three hits after the second inning, they're going to look flat. And they're going to look like, oh, they don't care tonight. But they cared just as much Tuesday night as they did tonight. Tonight they won, and now they've won 2 out of 3. Back up over 500. Game and a half out of a playoff spot as we continue to keep our eye on that Twins game. Minnesota now leading Seattle 8-5, so the Mariners not doing the Blue Jays any favors. Twins have the bases loaded and two out in the bottom of the fifth inning. Yankees and Texas are tied 5-5, and that one is in the top of the seventh. Tigers continue to lead Baltimore 9-7 in the top of the eighth, so only one of the teams the Blue Jays are chasing is winning tonight. Back to the phone calls. Chris is in Lowville. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Just wanted to say it's great to see the ballpark back showing some livelihood. It's been a while. Like, I can't remember, maybe 2000, 2001 when they got a little bit closer for Gosey, but it's just fantastic to see the vibe in the air.
Yeah, it is a lot. It's a lot of fun, and this is going to be a really fun 2 months, maybe three.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And you know what? I'm one of the biggest critics, but you know what? Good for them for going for it. How many people have a chance to do something and say, I wish I would have done that, wish I would have done that, but you know what? Anthopoulos is going for it. Good for him. That's the guy that we got to have going for us. May work, may not, but you know what? This team's looking good going forward regardless. And just really happy to see that the Jays are really stepping up, taking this town back, quite frankly. This is Toronto's town right now. This is the Blue Jays' town right now.
You know? Well, right now it is because they're the only team playing.
But I know. It's a tough one with the Leafs. But
yeah. We'll see what happens once the other stuff starts. But who knows? By the time the first puck drops, there could be a lot more excitement about this baseball team happening.
I know. Can I ask one question, though?
Sure.
I think we got to start David Price Monday. Get the ball rolling against a team that we got to catch up to. You already mentioned it. I listened to a little bit of the earlier chat, but I think we have to get the ball rolling. You know, first game against a team that's ahead of you is really key. And I think we get it going against the Twins, and let's see how it goes.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you want to be able to use David Price as often as possible. I think it strategically it makes more sense to start him on Monday. It means you have to start R.A. Dickey on short rest. And it means that Dickey would then have to pitch. He wouldn't get any extra breather before his next start. But I mean, to me, it just seems smart to go Price against the Twins and then twice against the Yankees rather than having him pitch against Kansas City, once against the Yankees, and then against Oakland and Philadelphia. But we'll see. We'll see how it works out. Thanks for the call, Chris. Blue Jays beat the Royals 5-2. Sam is in Hamilton. Hello, Sam.
Hey, Mike. Hey, you never know. Garrett or Ross or the Texas pitcher could start Sunday for us.
Yeah, again, I wouldn't bet on it, but it's true. You never know.
Yeah. It's so good to see the Blue Jays bullpen
Took you a while to get that out, but you're absolutely right. The Blue Jays, I don't know if they out-royaled the Royals. I mean, they roiled them. They beat them at their own game. They did exactly what the Royals have had so many times from Herrera, Davis, and Holland. The Blue Jays did it from Hawkins, Sanchez, and Asuna, and they're going to keep doing it.
Sanchez looks so good coming back from injury. Man, he's electric.
He is really something, and we saw it last year in August and September. We saw it in the starting rotation a few times at the beginning of the season. He is he's amazing. Asuna is amazing. This is a team full of really, really good baseball players.
Yeah. Now, either if Price pitches Sunday or Monday, I think it's guaranteed he pitches in front of a sold-out crowd. That'd be cool to see. You know, I love the Price trade. Obviously, a lot of people think we gave up Norris, but as much as I don't want to bash Norris, now that wouldn't be nice, but I kind of agree with Greg Zahn. His mechanics aren't really good. Now, obviously, I would love to keep Norris. Don't get me wrong, but if we're going to have to give up a Norris who is kind of flawed and needs mechanic change, then I'm okay with it.
Look, Daniel, David Price is the only guy out there on the trade market as far as rental players that I would have been comfortable giving up Daniel Norris for. You know, Daniel Norris has a chance to be a really, really, really good pitcher in the major leagues for a long time. I saw what he did in the spring. You look at what he did last year in A-ball and in Triple-A. He put up some phenomenal numbers, and he's got a chance to be great. And you know what? I wish him nothing but the best. I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm always going to be a huge fan of his. I hope he goes on to do really, really well. And if David Price helps the Blue Jays to the playoffs, that's fine.
Yeah. Now, right. I was thinking about the outfield situation. I hear that we're maybe going after a left fielder. Well, in my opinion, I think our starting left fielder is in Buffalo right now in Dalton Pompey. When do you think he gets called up?
I think maybe he gets called up if the Blue Jays can't pull somebody in at the deadline. Pompey is doing really, really well down there this year. I mean, they wanted him to be the everyday center fielder this year. That didn't work out. They sent him down. Triple A wasn't so hot, and then he went down to Double A, tore it up, back to AAA, and he's killing it. So I do think that he's definitely in the back of their minds that if they don't add on in left field, that Dalton Pompey is a guy that they can reach down for and bring back and put him in left field.
Yeah. I mean, well, just quickly on that point, if he does come back, does that mean Pillar goes to left, or would it be Paul?
No. Don't you think Kevin Pillar has done enough in center field?
Yeah, but imagine having him in left field.
Yeah, no.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Okay, I'll see you later.
All right, thanks for the call. Kevin Pillar is the center fielder on this team. If the Blue Jays were to get, like, Carlos Gomez, or, I don't know, you never know. They got Trout, Tulowitzki and Price. Maybe they get Trout. Then Pillar moves to left. But Kevin Pillar's not moving over for Dalton Pompey and not moving over for Gerardo Parra. He's not moving over for Ben Revere or anything like that. He has been a spectacular center fielder for this team. Ryan is in Edmonton. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. I'm just going to make a comment, Mike, and I'll get to my question. The comment is, you know, we got Russell Martin in the offseason, Josh Donaldson in the offseason, Devin Travis. Now Tulowitzki and Price, you know, last year not trading Stroman or Sanchez along with Norris, which was the asking price there for Jeff Samardzija, who's the favorite price. You know, if all this is happening in New York or Boston, we'd all be asking why not in Toronto, and, you know, what's our energy doing to make us competitive? So my question, Mike, is why is it that everyone's saying that AA is managing for his job? You know, hasn't he done some great things?
Yes, he has, but the team still hasn't won under his stewardship, which I think is the reason a lot of people think that his job is on the line. And very clearly, it does appear as though his job is on the line because Paul Beeston's leaving and his contract is up. I think Alex Anthopoulos has done a wonderful job. I love what he's done. I love what he's done with the draft, what he's done with the farm system, and now what he's done with turning all these, you know, remember how often we've heard, oh, he's hoarding pitching. Why is he hoarding pitching? Why doesn't he take position players? Look at all these young pitchers that he's drafted. Well, he just turned, what, six of them into Troy Tulowitzki and Daniel Norris. So the strategy is paying off, and hopefully it'll finally pay off with results on the field.
Don't you think, though, like you know, there's even before these two moves the last couple of days, you know, some good things, like you said, for the farm system and all the before that. You know, same thing for John Gibbons. There's only really so much that they can do. It, you know, comes down to the players playing the game. And like everyone said for the past at least 2 or 3 years, you know, this team's a lot better than what they performed. So I just don't really exactly why it's always put on AA, but I guess that's sports for you.
Well, you're preaching to the choir here. I mean, I've been sitting here for 6 years telling people how smart Alex Anthopoulos is and how much I admire him and the things he does as a general manager. So I'm not going to argue with you, but there is a definite perception out there that it's win or bust for Alex. There's a new president coming in. That's kind of a big deal, too, depending on who that might be. So we shall see, but certainly... these moves that Alex Anthopoulos has made the last week, as well as the Donaldson pickup, the Martin pickup in the offseason, they show you what this guy's made of. Now, who's to say that in 2 years people aren't going to be screaming that he traded Jeff Hoffman and screaming that he traded Daniel Norris if things don't work out, and maybe even if things do work out, because that's the vagaries of fandom. But in the moment... right now, in 2015, with the Blue Jays a game and a half out of a playoff spot, these have been spectacular moves. Thank you for the call. Let's see. Justin and Sarnia. Hello, Justin. Oh, we've got to wait a second for Justin and Sarnia. All right, you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, go right ahead, sir.
Well, first off, I'd like to tell you that I enjoy listening to your show, especially when people try and tell you something that's not true, and then you put them in their place really quick.
It's important to have your opinion informed by fact. Thank you.
It's very enjoyable to listen to, because I pretty much agree with everything you say. My opinion is, if they can't pick up a third starter tomorrow, what's your thoughts on picking up a leadoff left fielder?
Who is it?
Well, it's kind of what I'm calling you for. You know, I wasn't too old back in 93, but they had Henderson they brought in, and we all know how that turned out. So I was wondering who you think out there would might be a left fielder we can bring in that isn't going to cost us the farm, but that's going to help us.
Yeah, not Ricky Henderson, for sure. I don't think, you know, Ben Revere and Gerardo Parra are out there. Revere is definitely a leadoff type as far as speed is concerned, and he doesn't. He's kind of like Jose Reyes in that he doesn't walk a lot, but his batting average is generally quite good, and so he derives a lot of his offensive value from that and from his speed. He would be the only guy that I would think you could bring in here and stick in the leadoff spot. Otherwise, I think the Blue Jays go without a classic leadoff hitter and just put all their best hitters at the top of the lineup and go from there.
Yeah, Travis in the leadoff, and if we bring up Pompey, put him in nine, and that's quite a bit of pressure off him for batting, and then that leaves Colabello on the bench, which is kind of crazy to say. He's hitting, what, 340 still? So
I don't think he's still at 340. Colabello's kind of fallen pretty hard the last couple of weeks. Nobody notices because the batting average is still pretty high, but after today's 1-for-3, he is hitting 312.
312, okay.
Yeah. You know what? Devin Travis might be out for a month. We don't know. Devin Travis hurt his shoulder, and he got a cortisone shot yesterday, and they're hoping it'll feel better enough. But I think the odds are that Devin Travis is going to go on the disabled list tomorrow just to be safe. He missed 2 weeks instead of six, and hopefully he'll be able to come back. So I wouldn't have too many dreams of Devin Travis in the leadoff spot anytime soon. I think for the next little while we're going to see Tulowitzki there.
Okay. Well, it's okay with me. He's doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing all right.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
As far as Chris Colabello is concerned, just to put a firmer point on it, over his last 12 games, Chris Colabello is hitting 176, six for his last 34. So who knows? I mean, he's had little lulls before, and he's bounced out of them and done really well, but every time he has one, because this is a guy who spent 7 years in independent ball, and this is a 31-year-old basically rookie, though he's not officially a rookie, but it's a 31-year-old who, coming into this season, had 114 big league games. You wonder how long it's going to last. And so I think he's still going to wind up being a guy who can really hit left-handers well. I do. I don't know if he's going to be a guy who you want in the lineup every day. But the idea of Dalton Pompey is not a bad one. The idea of a Revere or a Parra is not a bad one. I just don't know if the Blue Jays have what's left to make those trades and bring those guys in. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will continue to take your calls, but I want to play a little bit of the pregame reaction to the David Price deal. We went around the clubhouse and talked to several people. Jose Bautista refused to comment today, and we're assuming, although I don't know how safe it is to make assumptions, especially given the conversation that we had with Jose Bautista yesterday, chances are it's because of the way he feels his comments in the Troy Tulowitzki deal were misinterpreted. So he didn't talk today, but we did talk to Josh Donaldson. We talked to Troy Tulowitzki. We talked to R.A. Dickey. We talked to Drew Hutchison as well. So I want to give you some of that reaction. And let's start with Josh Donaldson. Here's the scrum from before the game about the David Price deal with Blue Jays third baseman Josh Donaldson.
Josh, this might be a tough one, but how does this compare Tulowitzki and Price to what you experienced in Oakland last year with the two pitchers, the feeling in the room, stuff like that?
I definitely think there's some excitement. Last year, I guess in Oakland, it was a little bit different because we ended up giving something up that was actually a part of our major league club, an impact guy that was on our middle of our lineup. I think what you see here is we actually, we ended up getting Tulowitzki, and we gave up Reyes, who's also a very good player, but you're getting something back who's actually in the same position and who's one of the, you know, premier shortstops in the league, and then you go and get Price, and for guys who are prospects, I guess you could say, and whose Price is going to make an immediate impact on our ball club.
What was your immediate reaction when you heard the news?
With Price? Well, I saw it on social media that they were getting close, and I was like, I don't believe it just yet. And then when I saw it, they said it was confirmed, and I was very, very happy, because you know what a guy like that brings to the table. And he's just one of those guys who's a front of the line starter who is going to help the ball club in more ways than one.
Is the feeling now that the ball is clearly in the players' court, that you guys have the weapons you need to win?
Well, I mean, we felt that way all year. With that being said, we've got a few more established guys, and I mean, you look around the clubhouse. You're going to see a lot of all-stars in this clubhouse. It feels like you're almost playing fantasy baseball. You know what I mean? At this point, with that being said, you got to go out there and you still got to win games, and the goal is to score one more run than the other team, and you know, we need to continue to figure out a way to do that.
You said that David Price helps in more ways than one. What are the other ways besides the obvious?
Well, he's a guy that eats innings up. He's gonna help the bullpen. He's a very good teammate. You know, he's gonna be there day in and day out. Whether he's not even, you know, being called upon to pitch that day, you know, he's gonna be there to offer some advice to some of these younger guys and just kind of help these guys kind of learn even more than what they've learned so far.
Are you a believer in the psychological bump that a deal like this can have on a team, leading to on-field success?
Well, I think it can work both ways, really. I feel like it could be one of those things where you make a trade and you get so excited that you kind of get caught up in the excitement too much. But at the end of the day, when he's out there, you know, just like you saw with Troy yesterday, Troy made an immediate impact right away, right? And he's one of those guys that can be very similar to that. When he's out there on the mound that day, he's going to make an immediate impact, and our job is to play good defense behind him and score runs for him. And, you know, hopefully that equals wins.
I don't know what Josh Donaldson was eating during that scrum. I was right there, standing right beside him. I don't recall what it was. I think it might have been chewing gum or something. But anyway, and a couple of people have asked on Twitter. I know that you can tell. But those are pretty strong and insightful comments from Josh Donaldson about the new teammate, David Price, all the things he can do, all the ways that he changes this ball club. This is, you know, the first time that the Blue Jays have had a legit, honest-to-goodness, top-of-the-rotation, number one starter since Roy Halladay was here. And it was awfully nice having Roy. How many times have you thought, man, if they only had a pitcher like Roy Halladay with this team, how great would that be? They do now. And they're a game and a half out of a playoff spot. Take one call before break. Randy is in Moncton. Hey, Randy. Hey, Randy.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Sorry about that. I guess there was a bit of a delay. Does Michael Saunders at this point have trade value?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think. I mean, he's injured all the time. When have you heard when he might... By the way, you've had a really good week in Toronto. Troy Tulowitzki and David Price in 2 days. I think that's probably better than you could have expected at the beginning of the week. But anyway,
yeah,
they've changed their team a lot, and
fair.
It should be a whole lot better. It should be good to watch for the next little while. But yeah, is Michael Saunders supposed to come off the DL soon, or what's the story on him? He's been out for quite some time.
He has. I wouldn't expect him back before September 1st at this point. And hopefully he'll be able to make it back. And if he does come back September 1st, he's got a chance to make an impact on this team down the stretch, no doubt. But again, not getting my hopes up.
No. Weird. That was a very bizarre story about William Flores yesterday in New York, where they allegedly traded him, and then they played him, and they gave him a standing ovation, and he's bawling their eyes out, and then the trade got nixed. Did somebody not pass a physical? Like, I had a really hard time following this one, and it looked really odd from the Mets angle to be playing him when he'd actually been traded. I didn't understand all of that.
I think that was a little bit of social media gone amok. You know, the Mets did not trade Wilmer Flores.
Yeah.
The trade was, you know, it was supposed to be Flores and Zach Wheeler for Carlos Gomez, but nobody informed the players, or at least, no, I don't think any team officials informed the players because it was, you know, an agreement was made pending physicals. And if you listen to Alex Anthopoulos's news conference today, when he talked about the David Price deal, he said that they agreed to the deal at about 3 o'clock in the morning this morning, but it wasn't done until about noon. And in those 9 hours, you can have agreed to terms, but something could come up, something you don't like on the medicals, whatever, that could cause a deal to fall apart. And that's what happened with the Mets and the Brewers yesterday. But because of social media, because of Twitter, because of all these reporters saying that the deal's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, it's done, because that's what we want out of our reporters, right? We want everyone to be first, and we want everyone to be fast. And, you know, if you say, well, it's done, agreed to terms, pending physical, is not the same as done. And so, and even if you put they've agreed on a deal, pending physicals, people are going to go nuts and say, okay, well, a trade's made, here we go. And that's what happened. And the Brewers told, the Brewers teammates saw it on social media, and they told Carlos Gomez. The Mets teammates saw it on social media, or somebody did, or somebody called somebody, and somebody said something to somebody in the clubhouse. And it came out, and it got out to Flores. But nobody told the manager, Terry Collins, because the trade hadn't been made yet. It wasn't done yet. And, you know, you can debate the intelligence of keeping a guy that you've agreed to trade in a game. That's kind of dumb. Whether the trade was done or not, you would think that the Brewers would have insisted that Flores come out of that game in case he got hurt.
Absolutely.
During the game. They didn't. And so something like this happens. And it just, that just shows, again, it affirms Alex Anthopoulos' stance of never leaking anything, never telling anybody anything, keeping up the cone of silence, because you don't want to be embarrassed like that, A, and you also don't want a player who you wind up not trading to think that you've traded him. You know, how does Wilmer Flores feel right now? He knows yesterday the Mets traded him, but he's still a Met.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I know Twitter's only 140 characters, but, you know, you better be careful where you put your characters at, I guess.
Well, and I don't, you know, I don't even know that it's that.
Yeah. It was a leak, clearly, right?
It was exactly. Whoever leaked it, I mean, I'm imagining it came from, it was a leak on the Brewers' side, because Carlos Gomez was the guy who wound up failing the physical, and the Mets were the ones who turned down the deal, as it turned out. Or at least, I don't think he failed his physical. That's maybe because he didn't actually get examined. But the Mets didn't like what they saw in his medicals. So you would imagine somebody on the Brewers leaked it out, and this is what happens, and it's unfortunate.
Good
it's too
enough.
Bad. I mean, we want all the information that we can get, right? But
oh, yeah.
This is the dark side of that. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the call. You know what? We're just going to plow through it. We usually take a break here, but what the heck? We've got a lot of people that want to talk. It's a big day in Blue Jays land. They land David Price. He will start Sunday or Monday. We don't know which yet. And they beat the Kansas City Royals, the best team in the American League tonight, 5-2. So let's go back to the phones. Brian in Toronto. Hello, Brian.
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Good. I'm glad to finally be able to talk to you. Pretty much the only reason I listen to the radio is for the Blue Jays broadcast and then you afterwards.
Oh, that's swell of you. Thank you.
No problem. I was just thinking about the Jays trade for Price. Obviously, this is the most exciting time to be a Blue Jays fan. But
at least in the last 22
Price
years.
Price is obviously going to demand like a king's ransom in the offseason. But
right.
What do you think the Jays would have to
you know, give him for him to consider even like staying with the Jays long term.
Don't take this the wrong way, Brian. Who cares?
Yeah, that's fair.
It doesn't matter. David Price is here, and he's here for the rest of the 2015 season. You know, I was on with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker and Greg Brady at earlier this afternoon, and when they brought me in, that's what they were talking about too. And I thought, well, why? Why are we talking about an extension? Let's not worry about that. If David Price comes here for 2 months, he loves the city, he wants to stay, and the Blue Jays may be able to pony up the dough for him. Who knows? Paul Beeston will be gone, and he may take the five-year contract rule with him. But I don't know that it's a smart thing to give David Price Max Scherzer money. I don't know if this guy's worth 7 years and $200 million. Regardless, it doesn't matter. He's here
it's
now.
It's still hard to not get optimistic about maybe possibly signing Price long-term now that
well, why don't you just get optimistic about the rest of the season?
Oh,
right?
Don't get me wrong. I'm very optimistic about the rest
okay, so let's concentrate on that and not worry about whether David Price stays or not. Because the chances of David Price staying are minimal, I would think.
Yeah, that's what I would think. I think it wouldn't even have been on his radar if we hadn't picked him at all.
Doesn't matter. Honestly, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is the next 59 games and hopefully the playoffs.
You know, I'm really glad to hear you say that, honestly. Like, it's been a long time coming, and I hope that this can make a real difference and we can actually make a true playoff push this year.
Yeah, that would be swell. And honestly, there is, you know, there's no reason that they can't. The only thing that can derail the Blue Jays right now is either injury or poor performance from all-star level players. And it's happened. Stranger things have happened, right? The Oakland A's were crowned World Series champions last year at the trade deadline when they picked up John Lester. They managed one wildcard play-in game. They were out. They blew a huge division lead the last 2 months of the season. So
yeah, the same thing with those high odds after we made those big moves.
Well, it was a little different because that was in the winter and you still had a whole season to be played. You know, they weren't within two games of a playoff spot at the end of July. But the thing is, like, I would love to – I know it's impossible, but I think that our sports landscape now is such that and it probably has a lot to do with the fact that there hasn't been a winning team in this city in really this century. Look how excited Toronto got about the Toronto Raptors getting bounced in the first round 2 years in a row. Really, I mean, it's a lovely accomplishment, but it's in the grand scheme, it's nothing. But we got so excited about it because we haven't had anything to get excited about in sports. So people are used to looking 2-3 years down the road, 5-6 years down the road. Please, I beg of all of you out there, do not miss these lovely trees because you're busy looking at the forest. I don't care if David Price comes back after this year. It will be lovely if they can do it. It doesn't matter. What matters is what he can do for the Blue Jays over the next 59 games. If he can help them get into the playoffs and help them position themselves to win a couple of rounds and get to a World Series for the first time in 22 years. That's what matters. Nobody, I would love it if from this point on, this season, I would get no calls asking about whether or not the Blue Jays can extend David Price, because it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What matters is that he's here, he's their ace, and now they're one of the best teams in baseball with Price, with Tulowitzki, with Sanchez and Hawkins and Osuna in the back of that bullpen, and with all the amazing offensive and defensive players that they already had here when the week began. Andrew is in Buffalo. Hello, Andrew.
Good evening, Mike. I love the forest and the trees metaphor. That was lovely. I'm seeing a great full moon come up over some trees. So lovely. Question about left field, though. Because earlier you talked about Dalton Poppe possibly coming up. I wondered if maybe there wouldn't have been an opportunity to include Rajay Davis for a very small throw-in on the Price deal, and if he mightn't have been an upgrade on Carrera or Valencia in left field.
Well, he would definitely be an upgrade on Carrera or Valencia or Colabello in left field. I mean, he's not having a great season. He's hitting .254 with a .311 on base. It's pretty evenly split. He's, as always, better against lefties than he is against righties, but not great. And if the Blue Jays could have gotten Rajay thrown into this deal, I'm sure they would have gotten Rajay thrown into this deal. But I think that this is what they needed
to
give
up. I think he's pennies on the dollar, though, for a deal like this.
Well, but that's all you have left is pennies on the dollar, potentially, right?
Right.
He makes, what, $5 million this year, which would mean that there's 1.8 or so left on the deal, 1.7, 1.8 left on the deal, and that's not, I mean, it feels like it's an insignificant amount of money, but I don't think it's an insignificant amount of money, and you would have had to put in another kid. I mean, you're not going to say, it doesn't work that way where the Tigers call and they say, all right, you want Price, we want Norris, Boyd, and LeBoer. And the Blue Jays say, all right, you know what? We're comfortable with giving you Norris, Boyd, and LeBoer for Price. We want Rajay Davis, too. And the Tigers say, okay, take Rajay, and we'll kick in the 1.7 that you owe me. It just doesn't work that way. This was their cost to acquire David Price. You have to add on to get Rajay Davis. And while Rajay is an upgrade, I don't know that he's enough of an upgrade to be worth actually giving up something for. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. Sure. So I guess the other part of this is, does this maybe make an institutional statement that they see Pompey coming back and making more of a contribution in August and September because of the development that he's been able to have through two levels of minor league ball now?
No, I don't necessarily think so. I don't think that they would be actively looking for another left fielder if they thought that. I think that they know he's down there. They know he's hitting well. And I don't know if they're keeping him down because they don't want to bring him up and then send him right back down if they get another left fielder, or if they're keeping him down because they don't feel like he's ready to come up and contribute yet. But if it is the former, then he'll be here Saturday, you would think, or shortly thereafter. If it's the latter, he stays down for a while, even if they don't bring in a left fielder, and I think that's what'll tell the tale.
Right. Okay. Can I ask you one rules question too? Because I'm thinking back to two nights ago with the foul ball off Ryan Howard, and I realize that it's not reviewable.
Okay.
But could you explain playing a game under protest? Was that something Gibby had an option to do?
No.
And what triggers the ability to do that?
All right. Well, first of all, then this isn't necessarily aimed at you, but it's aimed at everybody out there who's listening. You have to understand that as much as we sit back and watch and analyze and criticize and whatever, and as much as everyone listening out there thinks that they could manage a Major League Baseball team as well, trust that you do not know as much about the game or about the rules as John Gibbons does. And if you see
gotcha.
Something that's so painfully obvious, like Gibby not asking for a review on that, please understand that he's not an idiot, that if it was reviewable, he would have asked for a review. So you can assume that since he didn't, it wasn't. And it wasn't.
Right.
And it's the same thing with playing a game under protest, right? He's not an idiot. If he could have protested that, he would have protested that. The only reason that you protest, you can't protest a game because you don't like a call, because you think somebody made a bad call. You can only protest a game when there's a misapplication of a rule. When the umpire doesn't get the call wrong, he gets the rule wrong. That's when you protest a game.
Thanks. And really, the only reason I asked the question was because in all of the conversation that surrounded it, the protest option never came up. It was always reviewable under video.
Right, because you can't protest.
Fine. Thank
that.
You.
Yeah, and you're not the only one who's asked, and I think that the often there's the immediate, why isn't he doing this? He should be doing this. If it's that obvious, he'd be doing it. And that's something people need to recognize. And although I know it takes away a lot of sports enjoyment from a lot of people, to give the people who are actually involved in the game that sort of benefit of the doubt. The Tigers held on to beat the Orioles 9-8. Detroit was up 9-2 going into the bottom of the sixth inning. They hold on for a 9-8 win over the Orioles. Alex Wilson gets the final five outs for his first save with Joaquin Soria being traded today. So that means that the Blue Jays are now tied for second place in the American League East with the Baltimore Orioles, 6.5 games behind the New York Yankees. The Yankees and Texas Rangers are currently tied 6-6 in the top of the eighth. Twins lead the Mariners 8-5 in the bottom of the seventh. The Blue Jays are 1.5 behind the Twins for the second wild card in the American League. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Napanee. Kyle, welcome to Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm well. Go ahead.
Hey, I got a general question. It's kind of about the farm system. With a guy like Richard Urena, after this Tulowitzki trade, he's only not even 20 years old. What can the Jays do with him? The trading piece?
No, they can continue to keep him in the minor leagues and develop him and see what happens. I mean, it's like all the people who called when they signed Russ Martin. Well, now what do you do with Max Pentecost? Well, they just drafted him. Urena is 19 years old. He's not blocked by Troy Tulowitzki. He's 19.
That's understandable, but okay. I mean, he's a kid that can be brought up by the time he's 22, right? You're going to be hurting his, or limiting him, I guess.
Or he's not going to develop in a straight line the way most prospects don't, and he won't be ready by the time he's 22 because most people aren't ready by the time they're 22. You can't look at a guy who's 19 and who has, you know, 22 games outside of low A ball and say, all right, this is what he's going to be. He's going to finish this year in Dunedin. He's going to go to New Hampshire next year. He's going to be in Buffalo in 2018, and by then he'll be ready to get to the major leagues. It doesn't work that way. What you do is you treat him the exact same way you treated him before you got Troy Tulowitzki. You see how he develops, and if he develops and he winds up being great and winds up being what everybody thinks he is, then you have a wonderful problem on your hands because you've got two terrific shortstops.
And with that wonderful problem, what do we kind of do with a guy like Navarro? Like, he's kind of fallen off the charts about his talks. Is any team looking after him, or?
Not as far as I know. I don't know what you mean by falling off the charts about his tops. I don't understand.
Well,
that.
I mean, before the season started, he was all the talk, right, about where he was going to go. And
oh, yeah, everybody thought they were going to trade him. Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, and that's
and they
kind
couldn't
of a good
get the
problem,
right.
But
yeah, they couldn't get the right deal, and he's been a terrific backup catcher for them, a nice little bat off the bench, and he's done a wonderful job. So if they could get a starting left fielder by moving Deonor Navarro's money or another good starting pitcher by moving Deonor Navarro's money, I think they would try to do that sometime in the next 17 hours. But there hasn't been any talk about that.
Okay. Well, I think you answered all my questions, Mike.
All right. Happy to do it. Thanks for the call. Blue Jays beat the Royals 5-2 on the day they pick up David Price from the Detroit Tigers for Daniel Norris, Matt Boyd, and Jairo Labour. Angelo is in Brampton. Hey, Angelo.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead. So
the only extension I want from David Price is an extension into the playoffs. How's that?
Sure.
You okay with that?
I'll take a real extension, too, but I don't think it warrants discussion. But yes.
No, not now. So I was really interested in your comments about, do we start him on Sunday? Do we start him on Monday? And I kind of took a look at the schedule and mapped it out. And you're right. If they start him on Sunday, he misses one game against Minnesota, one game against New York. Whereas if you start him on Sunday, he picks up every Twins and Yankees games. Monday.
Right.
He picks up every Twins and Yankees game.
Series.
But
he doesn't pitch every game.
Pardon me?
He doesn't pitch every game. He pitches
every series,
right.
Yes. So, but here's the thing. If you start him on Sunday,
yeah,
he'll pitch the second last game of the season against the Rays.
Yeah, no, don't even think that. Don't. You can't think that far ahead. There are rainouts. There are all kinds of things. There are off days that you can, you know, you can either keep him on his regular day or you can move him around.
And really, that was my question, because if you were to assume that there are no rain outs or juggling and it goes straight every five.
You can't assume that, though.
Okay, you just can't. Let me ask my question then.
Okay, but I mean, if it's that hypothetical, then I'm not. It's no point in answering it.
Okay, but my question is this. Would you want David Price to pitch in as many games in the playoffs, or would it be more important to match him up against the right teams now?
It's more important to get to the playoffs. There's nothing more important than that. You got to get to the playoffs before you can worry about who's going to pitch how many games in the playoffs. Period. End of story. That is all.
Yeah, then I think you have to start him on Monday, even though we have tickets to Sunday's game. So
sorry.
I'd love to see him spank the Royals, and I hope Johnny Cueto gets a good old lethal lineup beatdown tomorrow night.
We shall see. Thank you, Angelo. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the passion. Dylan is in Toronto. Hey, Dylan.
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy? I just wanted to say I love when you cover the games, man. I think you're awesome. And, you know, I'm so excited about the Jays, like, getting Price. I think everybody in the city should just, like, calm down and enjoy the moment and just live it up. And I really think that the Jays have a good chance at, like, going all the way. And I just wanted to ask you, I'm going to hang up and just listen to your answer, but I just wanted to ask you if you think there's anything else that the Jays could do to, like, improve, or do you think that, like, we're good to go and, like, we're going to make it into the World Series? Thanks a lot, Mike. I just want to say you're an awesome guy, and thanks a lot.
Take care. Thank you for the call and for the kind words. You gave me kind of a false dichotomy. It's not one or the other. It's not are they going to win the World Series or can they do more? You know, I've said it a million times. You have a 1 in 8 chance of winning the World Series if you get past the wild card game, because the things that win you games during the regular season are not things that win you games during the playoffs and short series. But what the Blue Jays do appear to have now is a bullpen with 3 or 4 or 5 great arms in it, with Hawkins, Sanchez, Asuna at the back end, with Brett Cecil, who now has 12 consecutive scoreless outings after tonight, and with Bo Schultz, who's looked really, really good, given up a couple of untimely home runs, but looked really, really good. So you have a really strong bullpen. That's a huge advantage. You have 3 very good starters in Price, Burley, and Dickey. That's a huge playoff advantage, and you have a massive offense. Those are the things you need to win in the playoffs, and the Blue Jays have that. That said, best 3 out of 5 doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. You could throw, the Cleveland Indians and the Colorado Rockies into the playoffs, and they could win a round, even though they've been terrible this year. So you want to just give yourself as good a chance as you possibly can. Could the Blue Jays use some help in left field? Yes, they could use some help in left field. Could they use another starter? Absolutely, they could use another starter. Are they good enough right now to get to the playoffs? Very definitely, they're good enough right now to get into the playoffs. I don't know if that answers everything, but I tried. Before we go, I do want you to hear from Troy Tulowitzki. The newest Blue Jay is no longer the newest Blue Jay with the acquisition of David Price today. And as we were running around the clubhouse trying to get comments from high-profile players about the addition that the Blue Jays made this afternoon, we descended upon the new shortstop.
Your reaction when you heard the news about Price?
Obviously exciting. Being in Colorado for as long as I was, never made any moves like that. We had some times where we were coming down the stretch run and still in it, but we stuck with our team. So to hear that we got David today is obviously a huge acquisition. It's exciting. Hopefully he can come in here and give us another arm to go along with these guys and help us for that push.
When a team doesn't make a move, how deflating is that?
I'll say this, it's not deflating when they don't make a move, but it gives you that much more energy when they do. So for this to be, their second big move in the last couple days, tells you, hey, we're in it. We think we can win here, and now we're going to give you guys the pieces. Now it's up to you.
That's it. Is it all on the players now?
Yeah, most definitely. It's always on the players. You know, we're the ones out there playing the field. All they can do is, give us, the information they have, and it's our job to play.
You said something yesterday about hope. It would be nice to add an arm. Could you have imagined that this would be the arm?
You don't know who it is. You don't know what it's going to be, but you would hope it'd be something that would help it to be a Cy Young guy. It's everything you can ask for and a little bit more.
Will it help you to not be the new guy now that there's another one?
Joking around, I know I was walking by, and I don't know if it was MLB Network. They were on me still. I said, well, hopefully it's the last day I have to deal with it, and all the attention goes to David now, and I can kind of run out the back door.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on that. Troy Tulowitzki isn't going to get to run out the back door all that quickly, but David Price is certainly going to be the big news tomorrow. He is due to arrive sometime tomorrow. He will probably be introduced to the media the same way that Troy Tulowitzki was on Wednesday, which will make for a fourth straight day with a news conference here at Rogers Center, which is awesome because it means things are happening and good things are happening. And the Blue Jays are getting better. And, well, that's what's happening. Alex Anthopoulos, news conference on Tuesday to talk about the Tulo deal, and then Troy Tulowitzki on Wednesday. Alex Anthopoulos, news conference today to talk about the David Price deal, and more than likely David Price tomorrow to talk about the David Price deal. Again, we don't know whether he's going to start Sunday or Monday. We may not know for a couple of days yet. He'll come and he'll throw a bullpen tomorrow, and they'll see how he feels. We're back on the air 3 hours after the trade deadline, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Eastern, for a 7:07 first pitch as the series continues. Drew Hutchison against Johnny Cueto, who's going to be making his Kansas City Royals debut. Thanks for all the calls. We'll talk to you tomorrow.